David's Werner, Hans Ulrich Obrist and Julia Payton Jones, Nicholas Serota, Larry Gagosian and Glenn D. Lowry, Marina Abramovich, Adam D. Weinberg, Carolyn Christoph Bakardiev. Wolfgang Tillmans, Marion Goodman, Monica Sprit, and Philomena Majors, Jeff Koons, Bernard Blisten, and Serge Lavigne, Adam Simchik, Okwi, and Wizor, and Hitor Steyer, Massimiliano Gioni, and Maya Hoffman. Patricia Phelps, Desis Neros, Beatrix Roof, Mark and Arnie Glimcher, Gavin Brown, Mark Spiegler, Tim Bloom, and Jeff Paul, Gerhard Richter, Eli and Edith Broad, Pierre Wien and Theaster Gay.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today, a welcome return to visiting artist from Canada, Bill Burns, director of the Dogs, Boats and Airplanes Choir, Children's Choir, as well as sometime director of the Safety Gear for Small Animals, the largest museum of its kind in the world. Thank you for flying in, Bill. You're still suffering from a flight last night from Canada, I think.
Thanks, William. And yes, you woke me up there.
So you've literally come from the airport at 6 o'clock this morning. You haven't been to sleep yet?
No, I haven't been to my...
And were you in the Yukon? You have been based in the Yukon.
I have been working as a visiting artist in the Yukon. I usually go there in the winter time when it's dead cold.
Right.
I like skiing, so and I enjoy my... winters in the Yukon.
Yeah. Is the Yukon in Alaska?
No, the Yukon is in Canada. Alaska is in the United States.
So which?
But we're neighbors of Alaska.
Right. And so which is furthest north?
Well, they're both about the same latitude. Alaska's west of the Yukon.
Okay. All right. So you've flown in, you're having a week in London, and then you're off to Barcelona.
That's right.
Now, that opening piece... was part of a special presentation. Is that a radio premiere for this piece?
That is a radio premiere, and it's a new ready-made libretto. And the arrangement is by... I directed the choral work, and the arrangement is by Alan Gasser, and the voices are Alan Gasser and Emma Gasser, and they're Georgian singers from Toronto.
So there's only two voices there?
There's only two voices.
It sounds like more, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Is there some sort of reverberation, or is it just a kind of...
There's no post on the reverberation, but there is... It's a kind of resonance that happens...
just the natural between their two voices. Yeah, it sounds almost like a choir.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you say it's a... What did you call it? A ready-made?
It's a ready-made... libretto. It's based on the Art Review's Power 100 list. It's a list that this art magazine called Art Review publishes annually of the 100 most powerful people in the art world. So it's and so the list has perennial favorites, such as Hans Ulrich Obrist, for instance. And Nicholas Serota,
Some are artists, some are curators, some are museum directors.
And some collectors as
well.
Oh,
really? Okay.
Usually the artists are a little sparse on the list, but there are...
Richter and Koons were there, for sure.
Yeah, Richter and Koons, and yeah, there's a few artists on the list. Yeah.
So it's in all, it's an eight-minute piece, and we played a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And we're going to play the full thing later.
Yeah, let's do that.
Later on in the program. Mm-hmm. Can you perhaps expand a bit on the what's going on here? Why is it a Georgian chant? I mean, it gives it a kind of sacred element, as though these people are revered in some way. They're reverential figures.
Yeah, in many respects, they are revered figures.
Yeah.
But I also thought it would be interesting because in sacred music and liturgical music, you often have a kind of that kind of reverence paid, and it becomes kind of like an angelic kind of voice.
Yeah.
So that's the way I was looking for that kind of interpretation of the list.
But presumably there is an element of irony here. You're kind of, are you poking fun at these people as well?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm poking fun of them in particular. I think I'm poking fun at the whole kind of structure of the art world that we all work in. So I'm not personally immune from working in the art world.
Okay.
So I see it as something that at least I fit into in that way, is that I'm not I'm part of it. It's not it's a discourse. You can't get out of a discourse. It's not an option just to opt out because.
So you're acknowledging that it's an absurd situation. You think the whole is there an element of absurdity about the whole system?
Well, I guess in some ways, yes. There's something absurd about the whole system, but that absurdity can be expanded into, the globalized economy, mm-hmm. And sort of, capitalism and industrial capitalism in general.
So do you think art is part of that system?
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah. So is that a dilemma for the artist or something you just, is it something you can kick against or you just have to go with it?
Well, I think...
I mean, how can you be an artist within that situation? I mean, would you hope to change it with this kind of with this sort of action I can't think of the word.
Well, it's a little. I guess it's a little bit of agitation,
right?
And I think
intervention is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, that's. I think that kind of those terms like intervention, things like this, they're also tropes about. What can we do about this situation?
Yes.
And as a kind of tropologist, my job is to say, well, we can make different kinds of music. So next week, I hope when I return to your show, I have some operatic hollerings of the same list and a bit of dub poetry that go on top of that. So
right. Okay. Can we? How have people? I think people have reacted to being included. I mean, do you think people should be flattered to be included in the list, or perhaps some people would prefer to be left off?
I think. I'm not sure if too many people would prefer to be left off. I think it's a bit.
Yeah,
we're kind of in the. It's nice to be celebrated. It's nice to be brought into a kind of glamorous world. And I think that's sort of where a lot of art gets, mixed up with different kinds of economies.
Yeah.
But the art has become more and more part of a luxury economy.
Mm.
And that's sort of what I'm, I like to, I think like people like William Burroughs, and Robert Filliou have worked in it in a moment where those kind of the economy wasn't as tightened around them as it seems to be. And so there was more kind of space for doing certain kinds of things.
What now?
I'm thinking nostalgically of the era.
Oh, there was more space. You think there was more space?
I think it may be the case that there was more space. But it certainly, there was more space in certain kinds of institutions, like, you know, Art Forum and things like this had had space for artists, where it certainly doesn't exist for artist projects and things like that in something like Art Forum. Or, you know, the same can be said of the institutions like the ICA. How, you know, I think the kind of expansion of the economy and the globalization of economy has meant that there's less space for certain kinds of activities. And, for, like,
Okay. You got into trouble with, isn't there somebody who's taken exception to the, perhaps you should talk about the bobbleheads.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have made some bobblehead dolls of some of the people from the Power 100 list, mostly curators, and I call them, you know, amazing curators of the world. And
it sounds facetious to me. It sounds like, I mean, you're not actually, surely there's a degree of criticism here.
I agree with you. There is a degree of criticism, but my criticism, I think, is a kind of the structure of our economy, you know, and as a kind of a, so it's not so much, I'm not saying that these people are wrong, that they make too much money, that they have too much power. I don't think that's my business, really, and most of them actually don't make that much money. I mean, if I wanted to, if I wanted to say that, I would be railing against the banks, or things like that, because those people make more money.
So, who can you name the person who objected to his bobblehead doll? Or should we not? Or
you I'm not sure.
You could just tell the story, maybe, without naming him.
Yeah, one of the curators. I think I might not name him because there was a threat of legal action. So,
right.
But one of the curators was upset about the use of his image on a bobblehead doll.
Yeah.
And so he threatened legal action. And we've gone back and forth a couple of times. And it's died down a bit. So I'm hoping that...
Did he put in words what his objection was? Did it ever get to that point, or did he just saying, get me off your list?
He wanted me to take the bobblehead out of the marketplace. And
so you sell these bobblehead dolls?
I sell the bobblehead dolls, yes.
It's an edition of what?
An edition of five, I think, or it might be six.
Right.
There was one destroyed, so I forget.
Yeah. I see. So I see you've made editions, and you try and sell them through a gallery or a museum?
Yeah, I sell them through, like, Printed Matter in New York and Art Metropole in Toronto.
Yeah.
And so...
you sort of did the same with some gardening gloves, didn't you? You produced some gardening gloves which also named famous gallerists
Yeah, that's
on
right.
them.
Yeah, yeah, so...
So it is a sort of a bit of an ongoing theme of yours or... topic.
Yeah, it is, and yes. So I've had a number of different naming procedures, and just kind of playing around with the kind of conflation of celebrity and our art world, and the kind of strangeness of celebrity within a field where no one really knows, you know, the celebrities in some ways. In order to know them, you have to be pretty on top of it.
Yeah, I must admit, I haven't heard of probably three quarters of the people on
that's
the list.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't know who they were.
And when I started the project, I didn't know anyone who was on the list. And now I can recognize a few of them when they walk by me at art fairs and things like that. So it's interesting. And sometimes you can recognize them by their, you know, their red tie that they wear at every event. You know, the first thing you notice is, oh, there's that guy.
Oh, there's a uniformity about them.
Well, no. Well, yes and no. But
they have trademarks.
But they have kind of trademark clothing items or fashion items.
Yeah. You know, do you shoes. Think they play on that? Do you think this is a kind of deliberate sort of PR exercise? I mean, I must say, that, for instance, I mean, Nicholas Sirota always wears a black suit, for example.
Right. Yeah.
But I suspect that black suits are probably quite de rigueur for museum curators. I imagine German museum guys all wear black suits, maybe.
I imagine that. I imagine for some people it's a kind of a branding exercise.
Yeah.
And for others, it's more like what they feel comfortable in. Yeah. You know, we're just talking about people with who are neurotic like everyone else. It's not, you know, they're not really that different.
Well, this sort of brings us on to this. You have a book out at the moment, published by Black Dog Press, I think. Black Dog Publishing.
That's right, yes.
Called Hans Ulrich Obrist, Hear Us.
Hear Us, that's right.
Hear Us. Yeah. So the book is like an artist book by yourself, but it has quite a provocative title. I mean, there's this block letters on the front saying Hans Ulrich Obrist, Hear Us. Mm-hmm. It's like an appeal to this mover, this big sort of big wheel in the art.
And that brings me back to the Georgian chant a little bit, because the Georgian chant is also a kind of those are Appalachian kind of chants, and with Hans Ulrich Obrist, Hear Us, that's taken from a kind of classic litany kind of form of prayer. And so I made a number of different ones, Beatrix Roof, Protect Us, and things like that. And
Beatrix Roof?
Oh, sorry. Beatrix Roof is the director of the Stedelijk Museum in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay.
And right. She's a well-known international curator. And Hans Ulrich Obrist is the director of the Serpentine Gallery in London.
Yeah.
And he's a well-known international curator. So I made these kind of litanies, and I made aerial signs, airplane advertising signs at the Miami Art Fair a couple of years ago.
So these are like banners that airplanes draw behind them so people can look in the sky and they see the same statement.
Exactly, And one of the curators named Adam Weinberg is the director of the Whitney Museum in New York. He was out for lunch with a friend of mine. He said, "You won't believe what I saw from my breakfast table." And sure enough, he had seen his name up in the sky.
Right.
And so I thought that was funny. But maybe I would play. I have a couple of audio pieces.
Yes. Sure.
And they're of having myself paged in train stations and airports.
Okay.
The first one is being paged in the Helsinki Central Station, and the name is Beatrix Roof.
So should we just play this now?
Yeah.
And then we can... Okay.
Yeah.
Bill, Burns, and Beatrix Roth, please
So you can imagine that.
So let's be clear. This is Helsinki Airport.
This is actually Helsinki Central Train Station.
Oh, okay. And you just go to the desk of what, information desk? And what did you ask them?
Yeah, well, most of them I need a kind of small team, usually myself and someone else, but sometimes three of us, to ask, for, because somebody has to be doing the audio and video recording.
Okay, yes, of course, right.
And then, and sometimes it takes quite a bit of cajoling.
Yeah.
To get a proper recording.
To get the request. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But surely presumably you can't do this request just anywhere. I mean, I couldn't go to St. Pancras or whatever and just say, get it out on the blower. You know, I want to. It's not open to anyone at any time, is it? I'm surprised because I've never heard such a thing at St. Pancras. I mean, it sounds like it should be easy to do, but in a way, it's a kind of a prank, isn't it?
It is. It is.
You're associating your name. You're getting your name broadcast with this, the name of somebody from the Stedelijk Museum. Yeah. Have you ever met her?
No, I haven't.
No. So you're just doing it as a kind of to associate your name with Beatrix Rohr. And what is it? You're hoping that people in the station will think, oh, Bill Burns and Beatrix Rohr, it's like...
That's sort of the idea, is this kind of association, like fame by association
exactly.
or something.
Yes.
And it's not very rich or...
would it not work better at an art fair? Could you not do it at an art fair? I suppose it wouldn't work. They wouldn't do such a thing, would
well,
they?
An art biennale in Paraguay last year, and I did every day of the fair. Had someone paged with myself in the international airport. So they have dark. It was a small art fair, not art fair, biennale.
Okay.
So the recordings aren't perfect, but I have quite a few recordings.
And does it have a spin? Does it pay off in any way? I mean, do you suddenly, does someone sort of say to you, oh, you're with Beatrix Rohr, whoever it might be?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think it's kind of funny. And the kind of idea of it is the kind of sense, I think a lot of artists are familiar with this brown noser,
right?
As a kind of a kind of way of operating.
Yeah. So you're turning sort of brown nosing on its head in a way.
Well, in a way, although I think
you're turning brown nosing into an art.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's the idea.
It could sort of,
but it is brown nosing. I'll admit that.
But does it seem, it could seem slightly desperate in that you're appealing for the attention of the art institutions, like saying, here I am, I want to be part of this system. Well, you are, in a way. I mean, you're not an unknown artist. I mean, you do have a reputation in international art. But it's like, are you trying to elevate yourself to the status of one of the big movers? Do you want to play the next one? Let's play the next one.
This one answers your question about whether it's easy. One was quite easy to do. This is from Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. And it's, the name on the page with me is Catherine David, who's the director of the National Museum in Paris at the Georges Pompidou.
Okay.
Messieurs, votre attention, s'il vous plaît. Cette annonce concerne Madame Catherine Lapuy et Monsieur Louis Burns. Vous êtes attendu aux informations SNCF situées au niveau 2 de la gare. Madame Catherine Lapuy et Monsieur Louis Burns, vous êtes attendu aux informations SNCF situées au niveau 2 de la gare. Merci.
Thank you.
Vous êtes attendu au point formation SNCF situé au niveau 2 de la gare.
So that one's it sounds like B. Burns, like that. He's like Catherine,
yeah,
Catherine, right. What's her name?
David.
Catherine David B. Burns,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So it's just the association, basically. It sounds to the outsider as though you two are together. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's the idea. And,
okay.
And at the Biennale, I did all the 100 names that are on the Power 100 list.
One at a time, or
On each day of the Biennale, we did one.
What, on a public announcement system?
Yeah, in the international airport.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. How easy is it to do this in a public place? I can imagine there being a clampdown on this.
There is.
It is in the manner of a hoax in a way. It's a sort of kind of hoax thing that someone could sort of.
I hope MI7 or whatever is not listening in on this.
Well.
But in any case, it has become more difficult to do these things, like everything since
since
the trouble started.
Okay, so what's the third one? Do you want to play the third one?
Maybe I won't play the third one. Unless,
all right.
I'll tell you maybe about the third one, which is that it's in the Vancouver International Airport, and I'm having myself paged with Jeff Wall.
Right.
Jeff Wall is
a Canadian artist.
Yeah, he's a Canadian artist who makes conceptual photography.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just play a quick part of it.
Okay, shall we have that one?
Yeah.
Jeff Wall and Bill Burns. Does Jeff Wall and Bill Burns please meet your party at the information desk by the Air Canada International check-in on level 3?
Okay, well that's... got that one.
You get to hear Canadian accent at it.
Yeah, yeah.
At the airport. So.
Okay, so I suppose this brings us back to your piece, this 8-minute piece, which is a sort of radio premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Did you compose it especially for Resonance, or is it ongoing?
We produced it especially for Resonance, I hope it has a bigger life.
So we'll be hearing that later. We're going to play that in a while. That's an 8-minute piece of the 100 top names of the Art Review.
Mm-hmm.
And next week there will be sort of like a part two of this, won't there? What's that again?
So I'm producing in collaboration with Andrew Zuckerman, a Canadian musician and composer.
Can I believe
artist.
You actually know this guy? It's you and Andrew. Okay, go on.
And so, Andrew is working on the mix right now, I have an opera singer and kind of a dub poetry or kind of a baritone doing a voice work.
Right.
It's going to be kind of a mix that would bring us closer to the kind of works of William Burroughs kind of material.
So that'll be next week.
Yeah.
That's a sort of similar length. So you'll be back next week to present that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it was interesting. You mentioned earlier when I was talking to you before the show, you said something about, you mentioned John Latham. Sort of British conceptual artist who did book art as well, and William Burroughs. But you sort of named them both in such a way that you think that they would not fit into the present art climate.
Yeah, well, I just think...
What does that mean? You mean that they're not... They're too sincere for the present day or something?
I think there's a kind of... that different eras have different... allow for different space to make different kind of work.
Hmm.
And this is an era that doesn't, you know, that I would say that those kind of more long-winded I would say also sincere works of Burroughs and John Latham, Robert Filliou, another one that I would...
Did John Latham go through the art education system, do you know? Did he go to art school himself, or was he a self...
I think, I think he read physics or something like that.
I was going to say, I wonder if the thing, the difference is that perhaps today people have come through an art system, and so they come into the art world loaded with a considerable amount of sort of intellectual baggage.
Yeah, there is.
Preparation, should we say.
Yeah, and I would say that that's kind of it puts you into the same kind of box as the economy and that is all fits together quite nicely. And now we have, higher and higher degrees of art credentials.
Yeah.
And so that kind of curious stuff. And then at the same time we have, galleries like Gagosian Gallery doing $1 billion worth of business a year.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what the whole world was doing for business in the last century.
Yeah.
So you have like...
But that's inflation as well, isn't it? I mean, there's a degree of...
Yeah, it is inflation, but there's something...
You think it's out of control?
There's something fishy going on.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Right, So it's too much like business then?
Well, yeah, I think the model is kind of, too much like business. Like the models of Gagosian and Zwerner and those galleries are the same models of corporations,
Right.
And the art schools too have exactly, now have corporate models running them. So I don't see that those... I can't see those discourses allowing for,
So someone like Latham or Burroughs wouldn't emerge now, then, as a significant.
I would speculate, that would be kind of harder to imagine.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
But okay. Well, should we move on to your boats and airplanes thing?
Yeah, we could.
You are director of the Dogs and Boats and Airplanes Choir, and you produced a record of this. And it's a children's choir. The obvious question, which I think I've asked you before, is why dogs, why boats, why airplanes, and why children? Can you explain a bit? Is there an association between dogs, boats, and airplanes?
Well, not really.
All right.
One thing I started the project because I was traveling a lot to do projects and things.
Yeah.
So I had I was trying to think of how do I have a practice here, and I was making drawings and photographs of dogs, lots of dogs, and then I also noticed a lot of boats and airplanes in my files after I was traveling, and then I started making a kind of set of archives about that. And from that, I started thinking of them in a kind of dissociated way.
Right.
So then when I started working with children, I was looking... I've worked with children a lot over the years, and I just find it kind of... kind of a challenge, but also it's a challenge because there's kind of a guilelessness. And I'm as an artist, like you alluded to, when we go to art school, we get a lot of guile. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Right.
What
do you mean by guile, do you think?
Well, I think I mean that we have strategic practices.
I was going to say strategies for...
Yeah, strategies for how to...
How to get through the system in a certain way.
Yeah, and I don't think they're not necessarily even conscious strategies. Sometimes they are, but other times they're not.
Is that to do with self-promotion?
Yeah, it's to do with promotion, branding yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something that's gone on for a long time in art. Not like...
And so you're saying that the children don't have that, is possibly why you like...
I think it's dangerous to say they don't have it, full stop.
No.
They have less of it, and they're not as closed as most adults are.
Okay. So should we play some of the record?
Yeah, that'd be grand.
Would you just tell me a bit about the what is this? It's a limited edition vinyl LP, and these are. It's an Australian choir, isn't it?
This version is actually the Canadian Toronto choir.
Toronto choir. Okay. Well, let's listen to a bit of this.
Okay.
Would it be sacrilege to talk over this?
No, that would be fine.
We could talk. We can let it run in the background a bit. Mm-hmm. So this is how many are in this choir?
There's 33 voices in the choir,
and of Canadian children. But you mm-hmm. find choirs wherever you go. You found one in Australia, and
I put it together. Yeah, that's
right. And the kids are basically making the noise of what of dogs and.
Dogs and boats and airplanes.
I see. Yeah. Right.
And then the process is usually that the libretto is sort of written by the kids, with a kind of our team of choral workers.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it comes from pictures, and then we go through the pictures, and we try and find this kind of a story,
right?
I think it was really interesting.
How structured is it? Are they following a score, or do they kind of improvise as they?
Well, once we've developed the libretto, they're following the score, but
okay.
it's fairly loose at that. But there is a score, and we're working mostly with big cue cards,
right.
saying what part of the story we're at.
Yeah,
but the kids can tell you the whole story after a few practices with the story, because they're the ones that have written it.
Right. And do they kind of, how do they respond to what they're doing? I mean, do they think it's just good fun, or are they sort of into the project?
They're surprisingly completely. Taken by it,
right.
because I think one of the things when you take a kind of something that's not really associated, it has an absurdist association,
right.
It doesn't necessarily have a kind of the outcomes aren't known.
Right.
And there's something really nice about that. And I think that's where this, you know, the outcomes aren't known. The stories aren't known before they start.
Mm.
And one of the things that I learned from just using these kind of small ciphers, the dogs, the boats, and the airplanes, mm. is that it tells a story about their lives mm. in a way that other things don't.
Right.
And it brings out the stories. So I thought that I think for an audience, it's not really easy listening material. But
is it performed live to an audience?
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. We've done a large concert and a small concert.
And is this an ongoing thing you plan to do more?
Well, I'm doing a new one this fall in at a museum in Toronto. So
all right.
it's about a 3-month process, usually. So
I just remembered we have to play the premiere of your piece, which is you better just tell me again what it's what it's called and so on.
Yeah, let me find it first.
Okay, I'll carry on with we can carry on with the children's choir for a bit. So we should play the thing in its entirety then, this piece.
Yeah, let's do that. And
so this is about 8 minutes long.
Yeah, and it's arranged by Alan Gasser and sung by Alan Gasser and Emma Gasser, and it's called the Power 100 List, sung as a Georgian chant. That's our working title at the moment.
Okay.
Let me pull it up.
So we'll listen to it in its entirety now. Then.
I'm trying to pull it up still, but.
Mm-hmm. I've still got some children's choir.
Yeah, I'm not getting it up here. The premiere.
The world premiere of this piece might have to be delayed. No, I'm sure you'll find it. Perhaps Ewan can help us. We have an intern who's sitting in, watching this. I don't know, he might be well-versed in technology.
Not sure about that. So what is that, is it?
Do we have, have we made contact?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Massimiliano Gioni and Maya Hoffman. Lord, 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 Lord. Patricia Phelps, Desis Neros, Beatrix Roof, Mark and Arnie Glimcher. Gavin Brown, Mark Spiegler, Tim Bloom, and Jeff Paul. Gerhard Richter, Eli and Edith Broad, Pierre Wee and Theaster Gates. Lodel, 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 Lodel. Michael Govan, Ryan Trickharton, and Francois Pinot. Nicholas Logsdale, Alex Logsdale, and Greg Hilty. Jay Jopling, Sadie Coles, Issa Genskin, and Bernard Arnault. Anton Vidoclo, Julieta Aranda, and Brian Quanwood. Lodel, Lodel, Daniel Buchholz, Cindy Sherman, Andrea Creed, Tiravanit, Dakis Joanyu, Jose Curi, and Monica Mansuto, Thomas Hirshhorn, Barbara Gladstone, Thelma Golden, and Sheikh Ahur Al-Qasimi, Matthew Slotover and Amanda Sharp, Toby Webster and Andrew Hamilton. Lodel, 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 Steve McQueen, Emmanuel Perrotin, Yayoi Kusama, and Liam Gillick, Louisa Strina, Zhang Wei, and Jofan. Rosalie Goldberg and Anselm Franke, Christopher Wall, Udo Kittelman, and Mucha Prada. Lodel, 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 lodel. Klaus Biesenbach, Richard Chang, and Olafur Eliasson. Matthew Marks, Eugenio Lopez, and Luke Toymans. Eva Presenhuber and Mario Cristiani. Lorenzo Fiaschi, Maurizio Rigillo, and Tom Eccles. Lodel, 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 lodel. Claire Sue, Massimo De Carlo, and Koyo Kuo, Christine Toma, Graham Harmon, and Adrian Chang, Patricia Sandretto, Rere Baudengo, Tim Neuger, and Burkhard Riemschneider, Esther Schipper, and Akram Zatari. Lodel, 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 lodel. William Kentridge, Hyun Suk Lee, Trevor Paglen, and Thaddeus Ropak. Philip Pirot, Bose Krishnamachari, and Riaz Komu. Sheikh Al-Mayasa bin Hamad bin Khalifa Al-Thani. Sunjung Kim, Rick Lowe, and Yuko Hasegawa. Lodel, 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 Philip Tinari, Charles Eschel, Felipe Dima, Pedro Mendez, and Matthew Wood. Carter Cleveland, Stefan Simkovitz, and Adriano Pedrosa. Dasha Zhukova, Nadia and Rajiv Samdani. Eugene Tan and Delfina Entrecanales. Lodel, 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 lodel,
You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with today's guest, visiting artist Bill Burns. And that was the world premiere of, what do we call it, Bill?
The Power 100 list sung in Georgian chant.
A Georgian chant. Mm-hmm. And who are the singers again?
Alan Gasser and Emma Gasser.
And they are presently in Georgia, you say?
Yeah, that's right. They're in Georgia right now doing some singing with some...
Okay. Yeah. And so the it's a found list of the top 100 movers and shakers in the art world put to... I mean, the music itself, was that specially written, or is that also a found chant?
It's based on traditional Georgian chant, and Alan did the arranging... which you can see is has certain complexities because the names are a mouthful sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there two or three of them were like Sheikh somebody or other? Is that right?
That's right. There's
been collectors.
There's two Sheikhs who are Shakers in the world.
Movers. Okay.
And they run museums in Dubai and. Collectors.
Okay. Yeah. Next week, there's going to be another world premiere of a similar list, or if not even the same list, mm-hmm. but given a different treatment.
Yeah, so we'll have some operatic collarings from Zoe Alexis Abrams and some baritone utterings by John Cresson. And the arrangement will be by Andrew Zuckerman. And it's a collaboration with myself and Andrew Zuckerman. It'll likely be a 12-minute piece rather than
current
8-minute.
Well, that's great. Look forward to that, having you back next week. I'm going to just quickly play a single I've brought in. This is my contribution. I Hate Art Galleries by Felix Cubin. This is a single issued on the Mayu Muzak label. This should play out for about 3 minutes, then maybe we'll sort of speak briefly again before the end of the programme. So this is Felix Cubin with I Hate Art Galleries.
Kunst als Tod! I hate art galleries. I hate art galleries. I hate art galleries. I hate
the white walls.
I'm gonna go.
was Felix Cubin on organ, Mark Boombastic on vocal, two other people, backing vocals, I can't even pronounce the names, at the Galerie van Gelder, Amsterdam. And I've just noticed, actually, the cover is apparently by Albert Uhlen. He might even be one of your top 100 people, I don't know. But perhaps it's going a bit far, is it? Not your sentiments, presumably, Bill.
Well, I think the sentiment may be the same as my sentiment towards the kind of political economy of art, but galleries themselves, I tend to like them. I enjoy going to them.
Well, I suppose it would be professional suicide to take it that far, wouldn't it? So you want to try and keep one foot in the door at least. Okay, well, thank you very much to Bill Burns and Ewan, our intern, for helping us out technically there. Okay, and you also heard, what was it, the track? Oh, we didn't play that. We didn't play Burroughs. Maybe we'll play some Bill Burroughs next week.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Bill.
So okay. Thanks a lot, William.
That's all right. Thank you. See you next week.